We do thank you, Father, for this service this evening. We thank you for the songs that Dick collected a list of from the pen of a godly man of a generation or two ago. How we appreciated the music ministry of this man, Charles Gabriel, the things of which he wrote, the truth concerning our Lord, Savior, our heavenly home. Often that was one of his themes, how that it will truly be glory for us when we gather in your presence. Thank you for blessed truth. Thank you that we can sing songs, read scripture, share one with another concerning our Lord and Savior and what he has done for us and what is waiting for us in glory. We pray, Lord, that you would help us to listen to your word. May we be instructed by it. May you be glorified through it. In your name we pray and thank you. Amen. Joel, if you'd like, or Andrew. Joel's back there, but I don't know whether Andrew booted Joel out of the way and it's not Joel's job anymore or what, but anyway, whoever back there, it's fun to pretend. It's fun to pretend. You know, we're coming to probably one of the most well-known seasons of pretending on a calendar. What might that be? Halloween. Everybody knows that's a big night of when children are small, they think about picking out a particular disguise or costume. Maybe it's one of their favorites. Oh, how things have changed. I'll date myself now. You know, you go into a store now and you don't even recognize, as you walk through the stores, the characters that are supposed to be depicted through the costumes. When I was a kid, it was things like Mickey Mouse. It was things like Hopalong Cassidy. It was things like Roy Rogers, the Lone Ranger. That was a real good one, you know, with the black, just that's all it was. How things have changed. Now you look and who's that supposed to be? Who's that supposed to be? And of course the kids, they can whip them off left and right. They know exactly who this is. What's the whole purpose of that? It is to pretend that you are something you are not or someone you are not. That's what that's all about, isn't it? Well, a person, we might say, usually pretends for one of two reasons. Not necessarily Halloween. I'm talking now about, we'll move past Halloween to other realms of life. A lot of times people pretend because they, number one, try to hide who they really are. And number two, they try to pretend to be something that they're really not. So let's think about that this evening. You know, in Scripture, there were quite a few expressions and instances of people pretending, not on Halloween, but let's just think about some of them. Excuse me. For instance, one of my favorite stories accounting some pretenders trying to hide who they really were the Gibeonites. Remember who they were? These were the one in Joshua's day, in the book of Joshua, that when Joshua took over the leadership of the children of Israel after the death of Moses, God had said, you go in and you destroy all of the inhabitants right here in the land that I am giving you. And they started right out with Jericho. What did they do to Jericho? Total destruction. Then they came to Ai. They stubbed their toes then because of the sin of Achan. But ultimately, what happened to Ai and its inhabitants? Gone. And you know, news, like, even though there was not the internet, news traveled back then. And it was putting terror in the inhabitants of the land. These people are coming in and no one can stop them. And they are destroying everybody in their path. And that's what God had told Joshua to do. But remember the Gibeonites. By the way, how close were they to the camp of Israel? You remember? Just over the next hill or two. Israel hadn't gotten there yet. They hadn't crossed over those couple of hills. But the Gibeonites, they came up with that plan, and it was a big show of pretense, wasn't it? They put on old, ragged, worn-out clothes, old shoes with holes in the soles, and old cracked leather, and they grabbed moldy food, moldy bread, wineskins, that instead of them being soft and flexible, they got a hold of some old ones that were so sun-checked and dried that they were cracking, breaking, leaking, try to patch them up, and in they marched into the camp, and they said, boy, we're so glad we finally arrived. Joshua and the men said, well, where'd you come from? They said, oh, we have come from a long ways from here. Our clothes were new when we left home. The bread was right fresh out of the oven. Our shoes were new. The wine was put in new wineskins. And we have traveled so long. Our clothes have worn out. Our shoes have worn out. Our bread is moldy. And, oh, man, we've just heard about your God. And we just wanted to make some kind of a treaty with you that, you know, could you be kind to us? Could you spare our lives? Could you? And we know the problem in that whole story was that Joshua and his men did not ask the Lord for direction. They didn't. This is one of those things, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 comes into really good play. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and what's the rest of it? And lean not unto your own understanding. Joshua and his men never once consulted the Lord. They went by what they saw and what they heard. They looked at the disguise that these men wore, and they said, we'd love to make a treaty with you. You know, if you're that far away, I'm sure God wouldn't mind if we would be favorable to you. And so here, we'll sign this treaty, and off they went. 3 days later, they crossed over the hill, and who did they find? Some of the same guys that had signed the documents. Doesn't say, but I'm sure those men met them at the outskirts of the city limits and said, look, here's the treaty that you signed with us, and you said you would spare our lives. Why? Because they were pretending to be something they weren't. That wasn't the only one. I think of another instance where there was a great pretender. One of the things that God had told his people when they moved into the land that he had promised them, what was God's thoughts toward anyone involved in witchcraft or the occult or divination or something like that? What God say? They're good people? Huh? Put them to death, get rid of them. Well, their first king, Saul, he thought, well, you know, I know this is what God wants me to do. And so he had decided it would be a kingly thing if he would send out word to get rid of all of the witches, anybody that had anything to do with occult or witchcraft, astrology. And as time went on, it became very evident that God had taken his blessing away from Saul because of Saul's disobedience, and God had chosen someone else to be the next king, and he, by Samuel's hand, had already anointed David, the son of Jesse, to replace Saul. And as time went on, we remember Saul did everything he could to try to destroy David. And things were going from bad to worse for Saul. And the Philistines were gathering against the Israelites. And oftentimes, when God's people wanted to know something, it was God's design, God's will for them to consult not a witch or a medium, but to consult whom to get some direction. Pardon? God? Through whom? A prophet. Well, who had been the prophet in Saul's reign? Who had anointed Saul? Pardon? Samuel. Well, why don't you just go, King Saul? If you want to know, if you're concerned, if you're worried about this Philistine army gathering around you, why don't you just go knock on Samuel's door and say, hey, would you pray and ask the Lord, is his blessing going to be on this encounter with the Philistines or what? What was the problem with that? Samuel was dead. And Saul was between a rock and a hard place in his mind. And so Saul came up with this scheme. He disguised himself and he told his men, I want you to find a witch. I need to consult a witch. Well, King, I can just hear them. You know, you gave the order. You told us to put them to death. But just kind of like it is in modern times, yes, but. Even though you told us to put them all to death, we still know where there's a witch or two. And there happens to be a witch at Endor. We didn't put her to death. It's always been interesting. How come his servants didn't obey the king and they spared? And they told Saul, we know there is, even though you told us to get rid of them in the land, we know where there happens to be a witch. And Saul said, I want to go see her. And so Saul, with disguise, went to the witch at Endor and approached her, and he said, I have a job for you. I would like you to call up someone from the dead for me. And this witch said, look, I don't know who you are, but You know, I'm not even supposed to be here. I'm supposed to be dead. You know, you're asking me to stick my neck out. If King Saul finds out that I'm doing my witchy stuff here, he's going to get me. And he said, don't worry, you'll be okay. It'll be all right. I'll make sure the king won't. And so she, okay, who would you like me to call up? And King Saul said, I'd like you to call the prophet Samuel up. And it says that they saw the form of an aged man, I think wearing a mantle all bent over, and suddenly appeared. This is one of those mysteries. One of those, how come God allowed that witch to do that? I don't have an answer for you. But it really was Samuel. And Samuel said, and when that happened, and the woman saw that Samuel had actually come up, her eyes were opened, and she knew exactly who was pretending. She said, you're the king. I'm toast. And he said, no, I want to know. And Saul communicated with Samuel, and he said, I just want to know, are things going to go okay with this battle with the Philistines or not? And Samuel said, tomorrow at this time, you and your sons are going to be with me. Pretense, disguise, trying to hide who he really was. There were other examples that we could give you. The wife of the king, who in 1 Kings 14 put on a masquerade. Just jot it down. Look at it later on. And we find that another instance. Remember when Jehoshaphat, and he was the southern king, a good one, the king of Judah, and for whatever reason he went up north to Israel and had a peace treaty with Ahab, and Ahab said, hey, would you go to battle with me? Well, let's see what God says. And you know that instance between the prophets and so on. But the whole thing was this. Ahab, the wicked king, said, here's how we're going to go to battle, Jehoshaphat. I am going to disguise myself. And you, Jehoshaphat, you put your kingly robe on and let's go to battle. Now, who do you think the enemy is going to target when you engage in battle? Duh. Who do you go for in war? You go for the leader, the top dog. And that stupid mistake almost cost Jehoshaphat his life, because the battle hadn't been going long when all of a sudden the enemy, they started surrounding Jehoshaphat, and he said, whoa, 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 you got the wrong guy. You got the wrong king. It's me. Look, I'm Jehoshaphat. I'm not Ahab. I'm not the one you're looking for. You're right. Where is he? Well, Ahab had put on a disguise. He was hoping that he could hide who he was. And in that story, it says that a certain soldier just drew back his arrow, his bow, at a chance, I think it said. Let her fly. And you talk about a Lord-led arrowhead, because that found its way right into King Ahab's body. He tried to hide who he was. He tried to set up his friend, the other king. He was only thinking of his own skin, pretending. There are other reasons or other instances, but I think we get the point. Let's consider these two reasons. Why did I say that quite often people try to pretend, people try to hide, number one, who they really are? Will that work with God? No. You know, Psalm 139 is my favorite psalm. And we know in verse 3, the psalmist says, "Thou compassest my path and my lying down." Lord, you're all around my path, my lying down, and you are acquainted with all my ways. Can we hide anything from God? Can we keep something from Him? Not at all. In Psalm 90, verse 8, it tells us this: "Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins." We all know about secret sins, don't we? You say, "How do you know?" I don't know what the secret sins are, but I know human nature. And we all have secret sins at times, don't we? We don't want to admit them. But look what it says about our secret sins. Our secret sins, "You have set our secret sins in the light of your countenance." Whoa. Remember in Psalm 139, the day and the night are what to God? They're both alike. There is no dark places with God. God sees everything. He knows everything. So I try to keep some things secret. If I could just keep this from God, it's a waste of our time. We're only kidding ourselves. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 13 tells us this: "Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do." Does it sound like there is anybody that can pretend to be hiding something and be successful in keeping it from God? No. There is nothing that is not manifest in His sight. Many pretend to be Christians, but they're not fooling God. The second thing that we suggested is another reason for pretending is to try to be something that we're not. The bad thing about pretending is that sometimes we fool ourselves. What do you mean you fool yourselves? You have trouble differentiating between what is pretend and what is real. Nick, can I use you as an illustration this evening? I think that was a yes. We had a lot of fun in Nick's early years. I think of all of our grandchildren, Nick gets the prize for being the biggest pretender. When Nick was young, we would many times engage in conversation with him only to discover that he would start talking about something as if it were as real as this right here, or someone, and we would listen a bit, and then we would say, well, wait a minute, Nick, where is that, or who is that? Oh, that's my pretend friend. That's my pretend friend. But as he did this every day for months and months, I know his mom sometimes would catch him talking about certain things. Such and such over here and such over there. And it got to the point where we had to start asking Nick, now, Nick, is this real? Or is this pretend? Well, it's pretend. He sure could have convinced. He could have convinced anybody in the media that it was real the way he was talking about it, and how he could see it, and he was doing things, but it was all pretend. You know, in Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9, it says that the heart is what? It is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked. Who can know it? The 10th verse tells us, who knows our heart? How many of you know your heart? You notice I didn't raise my hand. Because my heart will deceive me. But God knows my heart. So many times I convince myself, this is okay, this is all right, only to realize in the presence of the Lord, that's not right. In the face of certain portions of Scripture, you just deceived yourself. That shouldn't be, that's not right. And so we need to make sure that we're not fooling ourselves in what area? About our walk with the Lord. Is your walk with the Lord in reality what people see in public? Or is that a pretend? Are they really seeing the real you and the real me? Lord knows. And we need to aim that. What people see is what we really are. And that there be no pretense. One of the saddest portions of Scripture, and we're going to be coming up to it soon in our morning messages in Matthew chapter 7. We just make reference to it. But in Matthew 7, 21 to 23, we find the sad account of people who have pretended so much that they were the Lord's people that they're going to be shocked on the day of judgment to discover that they had only fooled themselves. They never fooled the Lord. Not everyone that saith to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, demons, and in thy name have done many wonderful works? Look, don't you remember how we performed? Don't you remember how we used to act? Don't you remember how we served? Don't you remember our costumes? Had Christian written all over it. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Not I used to know you, but I never knew you. They had pretended themselves to be genuine believers, but where did they pretend themselves to? Hell. Because they had never truly accepted the Lord as their own personal Savior. God knows all about us. There's no pretending. I hope the challenge of this evening will cause us to stop and think, man, am I everything that people think I am? Am I trying to give the impression that I'm something I'm not? Do I live a certain way to try to hide what I really am? May God speak to our hearts through these simple truths this evening. Let's stand and be dismissed in prayer. Thank you, Father, that we could come tonight. I pray, Lord, that you would help us to be honest. There is no hiding anything from you. There is no fooling you with anything in our lives. May we take this to heart as we head to our homes. We ask this for your glory and your name's sake. Amen. And you are.